In this episode, I interview Ginger Holton of Champagne Nutrition, based in Seattle, Washington. I met Ginger a few years ago through her volunteer work for the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics. Ginger shares how she knew it was time to leave her clinical job and transition to private practice, also how she was entrepreneurial during her time in clinical nutrition, and the importance of the know-like-trust factor in relationship building. Thank you so much, Ginger, for joining me and us and the students today. So this is Ginger. Would you like to introduce yourself? I know we know you're from Champagne Nutrition, but what else should we know about you?
Let's see. I am located in Seattle, Washington. I work virtually, so I work with people all over the country. And I also have a sub brand called Seattle Cancer Nutritionist because I needed a place for my oncology folks specifically to go. And it was just a little bit different than my Champagne Nutrition brand. So yeah, that's how I spend all my time.
Fantastic. Thanks. And I was going to talk a little bit about on brand and off brand. So that's fantastic that you mentioned that already, that like there was a sub brand that it didn't match. So let's talk about Champagne Nutrition and that brand so that you knew what didn't fit. So, what's the mission and why is that your mission?
Yeah, I don't know if I have like a specific mission that I have written out, but I always wanted to start this company. And it was a side hustle for a really long time. You know, I was working really clinically for years and I just really needed a creative outlet. I love clinical so much, but I'm really interested in writing and blogging. I love communicating via social media. I love recipe developing. So, you know, I was running the blog Champagne Nutrition for years and sort of building that up and building my voice. And, you know, I think Champagne Nutrition is speaking to an audience that wants to be healthier. I focus on plant-based nutrition. I focus on fun and including all sorts of foods like champagne and cookies and all sorts of pizza, things like that, while also having a big focus on health. So that sort of is the nuance behind what Champagne Nutrition means. But I actually got to launch it full-time and actually see clients under that brand 3 years ago. And so, yeah, it was kind of a lifelong dream to have a virtual practice. And that is how Champagne Nutrition was born.
How did you know when it was time, or did you know when it was time to switch from side hustle to this is your business?
That's a really good question. I had some inspiration from another dietitian. I was at a party with her at Fancy years before, and I really, I loved all my nutrition jobs, but I really wanted to do my own thing. But that's such a hard leap to make. Like, it just seems impossible sometimes. And I was talking to her and I said, how did you know? And she said she was working full-time at a clinic and side hustling. And then she was like cutting back. And she got to the point where she missed like a family vacation or like some sort of family event or something because she couldn't get the time off and it was so stressful. And she had this realization that it was time to leave completely. And I had the really similar experience. I was working at this great job. I really enjoyed it, but I just didn't have the time to be doing my side hustle. And that my job honestly didn't like that I was doing that anyway. And so I just ran out of time off. I was having a lot of conflict and the drive to go off on my own just became so overwhelming that I knew I had to do it. And I just was giving up so much that I just realized, wow, it's time. I'm going to run out of PTO, paid time off, within the first 3 months of the coming year. And I was like, I can't do this anymore. And I quit in January before I racked up time off.
So it sounds like you were, or how would you define the difference, or entrepreneurial, intrapreneurial? Do you see a difference?
Like, in what way? Like, define that.
So I know some people are saying like this, the focus is on entrepreneurial nutrition. It has been for a long time about getting out on your own and doing your own thing and starting a business. And a lot of times people think entrepreneurial means private practice or own business. And then there's this entrepreneurial spirit and mindset that you can kind of apply wherever you are, which I say is more intrapreneurial. So how would you, do you think you had, were you able to be entrepreneurial at your jobs? And what does that look like?
Yeah. So being an entrepreneur, like having a private practice, it is certainly not for everyone. I think there's so much pressure and it's kind of glamorized, like, oh, this is the thing to do. It's the pinnacle of, you know, what you can do. But that I really don't see it that way. I think it's a great fit for some people, but it doesn't have to be that way. I worked at a startup before this, and that was very entrepreneurial. I mean, you're creating a company with other people. So, you know, up here in the Pacific Northwest, there's so much startup culture. And so that's a really great way to have a really unique career. I previously worked at a cancer center that was a small family business. Same kind of idea. Like it really felt like I was on the ground creating that business, and I really got a lot out of that. So I think there's so many ways to create, even if you're working for someone else, and that can be a great thing to do.
And I know we talked a lot about mindset, which is what led us to this discussion. And I feel like that mindset might be somewhat of the consistent theme throughout, working for a small company, entrepreneurial. So can you talk to me about your mindset or what you see as important for dietitians starting out wherever they are with mindset?
I think that dietitians, especially new dietitians, just often undervalue themselves. I was talking to one of my new grad students the other day, and I said, "Wow, I think you're really being underpaid." And she was like, "Well, I just, you know, I didn't want to rock the boat. I didn't want to say anything because I know that I need to get experience and I don't have any experience." And I said, "Well, hold up. You have a master's degree. You went to an amazing internship. You know, you know so much about nutrition. You have a lot of experience. You're a really valuable asset to the team." But she just wasn't seeing it that way. And so I do think that new dietitians need to step into owning all the amazing things they've done and really developing some negotiation and confidence to really better themselves, but also our whole profession.
You have any go-to resources, or did you have a follow-up conversation with this person about, how to develop those skills?
Yeah, I think that people don't often realize that there are some pretty great opportunities available to learn more about this. I went directly to the salary calculator on the at the academy. So you can just there's like this whole page and it has all these career resources and negotiation resources, but there's a salary worksheet where that you can get for free if you're a member that you just look at and it tells you where you are in the country, what your specialty is, how long you've been practicing. And I've actually used that. You can go in and say, "Hey, this is like what I should be getting paid for this position." It's a pretty amazing tool to have access to.
Yeah, and I will absolutely include that link. And I will echo and say that I have used that to negotiate for higher rates for sure. It's a great way to reference. You're not just saying what you think you should earn, but referencing some hard facts.
Yeah, there's a little bit of rhetoric out there that I'm hearing, like, you know, the academy should be negotiating for us, or like, you know, they should be doing this work for us. But honestly, they give us some pretty great resources to empower us to use those resources and go out with hard facts, like you said. This isn't my opinion. This is like what other people are making. So you need to step up and you know, pay me what I'm worth.
Yes. And how about you mentioned the Academy, which I know, we met as spokespeople for the Academy. I know you're very involved in your local chapter and in DPGs. Why, you just mentioned also like the rhetoric and the kind of talk about the Academy. Tell me, why are you a member? Why do you continue to be a member?
You know, it's really given me a lot in my career. I feel like I've gotten some really great training. I've met some amazing people. And most importantly, I feel like when I'm involved in these committees or, you know, filling out a survey or, you know, giving my opinion, I feel like it's really heard and I feel like it's made changes. Sometimes I look at the website and I'm like, oh, like I had a say in that. So I am involved in a couple academy committees right now, but like you said, like also at my state level, I'm in the newsletter chair, and also at the affiliate level. But even at the affiliate or state level, you're still interacting with the academy, and I just feel like there's so much voice you can have. And a lot of people complain that they don't feel heard, but you really have to put your hand up in order to have a seat at the table.
How about for those folks who this kind of ties with the mindset idea of, don't feel heard, whether that's the boss, the academy, how do you raise your hand and get a seat at the table, assuming you've overcome the confidence piece?
Sure. I mean, I think one of the most important pieces that is missing often is relationship building. You can't just come out of left field and just be really angry and be like, you need to do this or you need to do that for me. I think in order to get to that place, you need to get to know people. What's their side of the story? What are they already doing? Is there information that you don't have? Same thing with your boss. Like, you know, get to know them, show your worth. And then you have more of a leg to stand on. I hear this also in clinical when people feel like doctors don't respect them. And I'm like, well, have you made a contact with them? Have you got to know them? Do you know where they're coming from? Have you shared research with them? Do they know and trust you yet? I have such great experiences with doctors and they always defer to me as a dietitian, but I just didn't walk in and have that happen. Like, you have to build the relationship and you need to get to know the other side of the story.
I think this is so important. And, you know, earlier we started with saying you need the confidence, you need to negotiate. Completely agree. But I love that you're now also saying it's, you can't just come in with that. There has to be some groundwork and it's good to have the confidence, but also make sure you're building the relationships.
I think the hardest thing to do here is when you're negotiating for like a new job, because you really don't have an opportunity to develop much of a deep relationship. So that's probably the hardest negotiation, but I think it's important to really stick with what you know your worth is, and also know that negotiating can be kind. It's not like angry. It's not yelling. It's not some negative thing. It's just standing up for yourself and advocating for what you're worth in a kind way.
Fantastic. I think, hopefully it can be a civil discourse, not even discourse, but civil conversation.
It should be. I think it can be, especially if you come at it, you know, really factually.
Can you think about, do you have a specific example or a few examples of how your specific mindset, like having a growth mindset, has paid off for you?
Yeah. I'm trying to think. I have so many. I was a brand new dietitian. I was working at a hospital and I started per diem, like covering someone's maternity leave. And then I got a part-time job, which was great. And I loved it. And then that hospital opened a bariatric clinic. So that was like at the same hospital, but a separate position. So I was working two part-time positions for two different, you know, parts of the hospital, but I wasn't getting any of the benefits. You know, I wasn't being treated like a full-time employee. And I knew that was totally unfair, which it obviously is. And I went to both bosses who I had great relationships with. And I was like, we need to fix this. Like, what can we do? And both of them were really kind people, but they were like, well, you know, it's really hard. And like, I can't own this. I don't have the budget or this or that. And ultimately, though I love those jobs, they just really couldn't treat me the way that I needed to be treated. And I got recruited from another company and I actually left. And I really saw that as taking a stand for, even though this job is great, I'm not being treated the way I need to. And so I'm going to leave. I left on really great terms, but I hope that they had that as a wake-up call to, you can't treat people like that, you know?
That sounds like a thank you for sharing. Thank you for standing up for yourself and fighting for our profession. And also, you know, to your earlier point about the negotiating piece, and hopefully it's, you know, a win-win, not always a win-win. And it sounds like you went in knowing your boundaries and knowing what you needed, like your non-negotiable. And when they couldn't meet that.
You know, you do have to be ready to put your cards on the table. I have walked away from other positions too, because of the same thing. Again, not in an angry or mad way, but just in a like, this, you're not treating me the way I need to be treated. Like, I'm going to go somewhere else and I'm going to get paid what I deserve. And so when you have that growth mindset and when you have a mindset of abundance, like it's going to work out, I'm going to get a better job. Then the options are really limitless.
Have you found yourself, where you had that kind of gut check and you thought, this is not where I want to be, where I need to be, but you were still there or you went there anyway. What happened then? How did you, you know, what did you do?
So can you rephrase?
Sure. So basically, either you are in a situation that you realize is not right, or you enter a situation that you didn't think you should have. And then what do you do?
Yeah, that's a really hard one. There's always this fine line of like, do I stick it out and see if it'll get better? Or do I leave because I know that it's not right? leaving my last position to start Champagne Nutrition full-time was a really big deal. And I actually thought about it and prepared for months. I loved that job and I knew that it, you know, I was taking a huge financial risk and gosh, I had made up my mind probably 6 to 12 months before I actually ended up leaving, but that allowed me to start saving money more aggressively, you know, to start like really getting my ducks in a row outside of work. And so I think there's an aspect of preparation, you know, like a lot of times you need to update your LinkedIn, working on your resume, like getting some career coaching. All of those things can be a really productive way to use time where you know you need to get out, but you're not just going to completely quit in that moment.
Yes, I definitely hear you on the preparation and that feeling, even though in your gut, you might want to get out immediately. Logically, realistically, it's taking that step back. It's like not sending the email when you're angry, waiting till the next day. It sounds like you did that. You knew you wanted to get out, but you couldn't do it immediately.
Yeah. And it actually paid off. And I'm really glad that I did it that way. It was better for the company. It was better for me. And even though it was hard at times, because, you know, once you decide you're going to leave, like, you know, you're going to leave, but what's best for everybody involved. It oftentimes is leaving when the time is right.
I have a question. I feel like I kind of know one of the answers, but then I'd like the other answer. So the idea of knowing what your brand is and knowing that you like fun and nutrition and inclusive and what is important to you, what you value as a person, it's like your time. So then how do you know what to say no to? I feel like you kind of went with a sub brand for one of those, but then what else? Can you think of a situation where you said no to a project or a request because it, for whatever reason, wasn't right?
Yeah, a lot of the times. One thing I'm pretty steady on is what I'm good at and what my specialty is and what is not. I do consider myself a bit of a generalist. I mean, Champagne Nutrition is like having fun, eating what you want, but not. But ultimately, I do end up working with pretty clinically complex clients and especially women, especially like 40s to 60s. Like I definitely have a niche that's sort of naturally developed, but I don't do peds. So if like any kid or teens come my way, I say no immediately, but I refer them to somebody who I know can treat them. Like I can't take that on, or I actually don't treat active eating disorders. And I know there's really great care out there for them. So when there's people that come to me that are not in my niche, I will send them out. And it's really cool because then when other people get like an oncology person, that's a good fit for me. They'll send them my way. So I don't take every client. I also don't take every project. And a lot of reasons that I turn projects down are because they're not compensating correctly.
Yeah. Do you have an experience? I know for the job you did with a salary calculator, how about project wise? I know you have written a few books and done a lot of different projects. Have you had the experience where you turned them down or asked for what you wanted and you did get it?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I'm in a couple mastermind groups and we talk a lot about how to negotiate projects and things. I had a friend just the other day who a company came to her and said, hey, I want to do this project. And she said, well, this is my price. And they were like, well, we can't do that. She's like, okay, then we won't work together. No problem. And they came back and they're like, okay, we'll do it. So I feel like a lot of times you need to just maintain what you will and will not work for instead of like cutting yourself down and just be like, this is my price. I feel sure about this and that's what I'm worth. And you can either work with me or you can go with someone else.
That's awesome. And I think the more of us, all of us that can do that, the higher the bar is going to be raised, right? Because if they feel like, well, somebody is going to do it for this price, they'll go to that person. But if we all keep saying no,
for sure. I mean, unfortunately, a lot of dietitians, and I would say especially a lot of new dietitians who just, you know, really are trying to get established will work for very little or for free. And one thing that happens a lot to dietitians is like, oh, hey, I'll send you some chips or some cookies or this thing. Like, can you post about it? But I write those folks back and I say, well, I don't work for chips, you know, like I work for money. So if you want to do a brand partnership, that's great. But I would really encourage people to not work for product, to not work for free, because it actually does work against all of us. Like we all want to make more money. We all want to advance a profession. So we all need to band together to stand for getting paid for work.
Not getting paid for product or for free. Absolutely. I can agree with that. How about bartering?
Mm. You know, I don't do a lot of that, but I know other people do. I mean, for example, like website work is really hard and expensive, or marketing work, or, you know, there's all sorts of different things that you might need. And I think bartering is a really cool way to get started, especially if you're just launching.
That's actually my first business. I cooked meals and got a website and a logo created in exchange.
Awesome. That's well worth it.
Yes, I thought so. I had no problem adding one more client for that to get all of the tech side. So a couple more questions. Well, let's say now, before I think of kind of the wrap up few questions, what else would you like to talk about in terms of mindset, entrepreneurial spirit?
Yeah, you know, I think a lot of new dietitians or people that are trying to go out on their own, I feel like they just feel a little bit alone, you know? And I think people really do need to tap more into their resources. When I was talking to one of my students the other day, I was like, are you part of the specific DPG that you're interested in? Like, are you connected with them? And not just like you stop by the DPG website, but like, have you volunteered? Have you connected? Have you reached out? I also talked to her about starting a mastermind. I know that's something that you and I are passionate about, but like, have you connected with professional colleagues? If you are trying to be entrepreneurial, are you part of Nutrition Entrepreneurs DPG? You know, like, are you seeking mentorship? Are you going to Fency? There's so many opportunities. And so I think it's really important to not just click around on the site, but actually reach out and try to get more involved for that support.
And that goes with what you talked about earlier. I feel like relationship building, like it's not just knowing the person, it's really being involved with the person, with the organization.
Yep.
Awesome. How about thinking about newly credentialed dietitians, and I know you did work clinically. How about for a dietitian who may not want to work clinically, do you have any advice or kind of first job suggestions that might not be clinical?
I mean, there's so many cool opportunities out there right now. You know, people are working for food brands, people are working in advertising and PR, people are working in the community. Like I keep mentioning, there's just so many startup opportunities and tech stuff and app development. You know, there's a real need for dietitians out there, and the possibilities are really endless. I think you just need to get creative.
You think, how about first job wise? Do you think it's wise to go right into like a business focused job? You know, that age old question I know I get often from students, do I need to work clinically? You know, what do you think about that type of experience?
Well, one thing I do feel pretty passionately about is if you want to have a private practice where you see clients, I do think it's very helpful to get some clinical experience. At my last job, I was on the hiring committee. And if we'd get a brand new grad that we could just tell wasn't ready, my boss would always say, go work in a hospital for 12 months, see 20 patients a day, and just get your, you know, your feet wet seeing clients. And then you just have so much more context. I actually didn't start my private practice to see my own clients until I had about 10 years of experience. So I had so much clinical experience, and I am extremely thankful for it. So, you know, it's not like a requirement, but I really think that is helpful. But, you know, I think a lot of dietitians end up taking clinical jobs when they actually don't want to. And I think that's a mistake. So if you don't want to work clinical, don't work clinical. Go do one of the many other things that you could do. And I think having a business job counts as that.
How about first of all, do you have a business plan?
You know, I do. I haven't referenced it a lot. I think, yeah, that's an interesting question. I've always felt like I should, and I've like kicked it around and worked on it and tried, but ultimately what has turned out to be more important for me is actually just doing. Like moving into action mode has been really, really important for me. Yeah. And that's actually worked out okay.
Yeah. Cause that my follow-up was, if you said yes to the business plan, I was going to ask which came first, the business plan or the clients. And it sounds like clients.
Yeah. I feel like I didn't have a super clear, like, this is what I'm going to do, black and white. I have it all figured out before I launched. What worked better for me is like, I'm really, really good at seeing clients. I have a client base. I'm going to see them and sort of develop things as I go. So since the beginning of me seeing clients, I've changed everything pretty radically. The way I chart, my pricing, my packages, just so much. And honestly, a lot of what has helped me is I do often have business coaches, and I really believe in getting like career and business coaching, because then you get that outside perspective. So I think instead of having like a business plan, I have actually leaned more heavily on business coaches, and that's been really helpful for me.
And I think regardless, like in that interprofessional work is so important, and we are not business experts. So why should we do that? You know, why not bring on the business expert to help you with it? I think that's fantastic. Again, of knowing your limits, knowing what's not in your scope or not your strength. Mm-hmm. What does advocacy look like in your work?
Like in what way?
However you take that, like, do you advocate for yourself, for your patients, for legislation? What does advocacy play a role in some form?
Oh, definitely. I mean, I advocate for my patients all the time. One of the biggest mistakes that I see is people just don't feel empowered in their own healthcare. So what I'll actually do is I'll write little verbiage out for people. I'll say, I'm working with a registered dietitian. You know, she noticed that my vitamin D hasn't been drawn forever or for like 5 years. Would you be open to drawing it? And so I'll give people verbiage to go have better conversations with their physicians. Or I'll set goals to like go see your doctor or ask for a bone density test or whatever people need. And, you know, I really believe strongly in advocacy within dietetics for licensure, for protection, and for diversity too. So I think that's one reason that I volunteer so much, because I really think that is a way to give back to the profession and help move things forward.
Yeah. I have two questions left. One is, do you have a favorite podcast for a topic related to what we're chatting about today?
Yeah, I was on one the other day. I was on a money mindset dietitian, Christine. She's out of Chicago. Actually, she's really wonderful. And she talks just a lot about mindset. And she just talks a lot about mindset and how to advocate for yourself. So she's probably my top one. And I've been on that podcast.
Awesome. So we'll be sure to link that one. And then if the students have questions or just want to learn more about you, how should they find you on social, or what's your preferred way?
Yeah. I mean, I really love to connect with folks on my Instagram is probably where I'm most active. I also have Champagne Nutrition Facebook. I'm also on Twitter. And in the coming year, I have a big goal to be more on TikTok. And I know that that's a really good way to connect with people. So I really see social media positively. I think it could use a little positive reframe, but it is a great way to connect, share information, and message each other. So feel free to reach out.
Fantastic. And now you've put it out there. So at our next mastermind, I'll ask you how your TikTok's going.
Thank you for the accountability. I really, really want to do that. I just think it's such a fun way to share nutrition information.
Yes. Awesome. Well, thank you so very much for taking your time and sharing. And even though we've been friends for years, I still learned more about you today.
Yay. Thanks for having me. I really hope this is helpful to people.